Hello, this is Aaron Kupferberg for Power Papaholic, and I am interviewing today Taylor Locke from Taylor Locke and the Roughs.
Woo!
So, Taylor, tell me a little bit about how you got started with forming the Roughs. I know you were previously in Rooney and a lot of your other bandmates were in other bands. How did it all come together?
Well, I'm still in Rooney. This is our 11th year. We got a new record coming out this summer. We're going on tour all summer. And the way the Roughs got started is between Rooney albums, there was a lot of downtime. We had some problems with management and labels, and we ended up getting out of our old deal, getting out of our old manager, and building some home studios to start our own record. And we're back on our feet, and that's all water under the bridge. But during that downtime, we were all pretty disappointed and frustrated. And I've always been a believer that side projects and other collaborations outside of your main group are really healthy. So some of the things I've been doing in my downtime were trying to work on sessions, playing guitar and singing background vocals on people's stuff. And then there was a couple of girl pop singer types who wanted some help writing songs, so I co-wrote a few things. But the thing that really clicked and got me really inspired was when I met Chris Price and started working with him. He's from Miami. He had a band called Price, who are now on hiatus, who are signed to Geffen as well. And we would get together and write songs in a lot of different combinations, sometimes with our friend Blue, who's a great power pop artist, sometimes with Chris's younger brothers. But Chris and I really, really clicked, and it seemed that our taste and the parameters of our musical aesthetic were just really sharply simpatico, and when I started writing with him, something happened when the two of us put our heads together where I was really able to write the songs that I want to hear. And so
great.
That to me is a really successful partnership when, you know, basically we're coming up with the kind of material that's the kind of material that I like to listen to. It's my, you know, it's my favorite kind of thing. We didn't really talk about forming a band for a long time. In the beginning, our writing sessions were very, very casual. He would do a lot of the singing while we were writing. He's a much stronger singer than I am. And we'd write casually in a bunch of different styles. Then I'd go back on tour with Rooney, and we'd come back. And then we both moved to the same neighborhood, which is Los Feliz in L.A., and we started doing it more frequently and more seriously, like a few times a week. And oftentimes we'd even write two songs in the same day. And there was a certain batch of material emerging. I was going through some turbulent personal stuff with a breakup with a longtime girlfriend. And, he and I are the exact same age. They've had a lot of similar experiences. And we knew where each other were coming from. And a theme started to emerge where I felt like lyrically a lot of the songs were somewhat autobiographical about what I was dealing with. And at a certain point I said to Chris, you know, we've got so many songs now. I think we have somewhere between 26 and 30. And I said, I know that there's at least 10 songs in this pile that would make a really great record for me to sing, to basically do a solo record. And with, you know, your permission, since we co-wrote the songs, I'd really like to do it, and also with your involvement as a producing partner. And he was absolutely into it, and then we wrote even more songs now that we had a direction for where the songs were going. And we went ahead and we started making this record. I have a studio that I share with Ned, the drummer in Rooney, and it's behind Ned's house. We converted his garage into a studio. And it's pretty small, but we have a lot of guitars and amplifiers and a bunch of really nice drum kits that are Ned's, and we got all the essentials in terms of microphones and all that. And Chris and I went in, we hired our friend Mikey McCormick, who is the drummer from Everybody Else, who is a musician that I've always been very, very impressed with and very good friends with over the years. He's been in a number of different LA bands, mainly Everybody Else, a band that he's been in for a long time. And I said, hey, you want to play some drums on this record that I'm doing with Chris Price? And he said, yeah, absolutely. And we went in, and we made the record in about 10 or 12 days. And we worked from about 1 in the afternoon to 2 in the morning. We do about 11, you know, what is that, 12, 13-hour days.
Wow.
We worked really, really hard. It was mainly Chris and I, just tag team taking turns on the Pro Tools rig, engineering and producing ourselves. doing all the guitars, keyboards, bass, lead vocals, background vocals, hand claps, and Mike would come in and give us just really, really clean, stellar drum performances. We rough mixed the whole record in a day, and we just thought, wow, this is really good. This is something special. We should probably put together a band and come up with a band name and really go for it. And then we enlisted Ducky Carlisle, who's just absolutely my favorite recording engineer and mixer on the planet. I think he's an absolute genius.
I think Blue would agree with you there.
Yeah, we won't do anything without Ducky, and he's wise to operate that way. And, you know, Ducky's house is sort of a mecca. It's sort of a pilgrimage that a lot of rock and power pop artists have to take. And I'd been there once just as a visitor. My birthday last summer, Paul McCartney, it was my 25th birthday, and McCartney was playing in Boston. And my little brother lives on the East Coast, and I thought, I gotta see Paul on my birthday, I gotta see my little brother, and I gotta stay at Ducky's house. This is the pilgrimage I have to take. So my little brother and I went to Ducky's. We had a great time. We listened to old records, we drank too much, we bonded, we went and saw Paul. It was tremendous. And I called Ducky and said, hey, I want to come back and mix a record with you and my partner Chris Price. It's 10 songs, and let's do it.
Wow.
Chris and I went out there, and Ducky would mix a couple songs in a day while Chris and I were writing new songs and trying to come up with band names. And we left 5 days later with a tremendously mixed record, which I don't have any problem saying. He just took it to the next level sonically. And then we had 5 new songs and a band name. So we returned, and then we called my friend Charlotte, who has been a good friend of mine for a long time. She used to play bass and the like. Known her since we were, you know, teenagers in high school. And she hadn't been playing music for about a year or a year and a half. The like had a lot of turmoil at their record label. And she just got a little disenchanted with the music business. And she wanted to go back to school and just get away from that stress. And her bass had been in a closet for a year. Her father, Mitchell Froom, is a sensational record producer. We had done some Rooney stuff with him, and I had bonded with Mitchell. And I just thought, you know, she's got to be playing music. She's a great musician. And to have the music industry suck the joy out of your desire to be a musician is a crime, and it's disgusting. And we need to remedy that. And so Charlotte brought so much to the band. I mean, she learned the whole record. First of all, Chris played some incredibly intricate bass on the record. It's not Ramones bass playing. It's some pretty sophisticated shit. Charlotte learned the whole record by ear in probably 2 sittings. She probably learned 5 songs one day, 5 songs the next day. And immediately poured all of her enthusiasm into the project, got really passionate about it, wanted to build the MySpace page, the Facebook page, the Twitter page, help book shows, help get photographer friends to shoot us. And she just threw herself into it wholeheartedly. And I called Mike and said, look, the record that you made with us is great, and we want to call it a band name. We want you to be in the band, and we're going to play live. And I know that this is for me, it has to be a side project for now because I'm really busy with Rooney. And Mike goes to school, and he's a tutor who teaches students, and he's still very much in everybody else. But I said, whenever we're all free, let's play some shows. Mikey lives 5 doors down from me to the east of me. Chris lives 2 blocks away from me to the west of me. They're both in walking distance. We have the rehearsal set up in my garage. Charlotte's the only one who even has to get in a car to come to rehearsal.
Oh, that's cool.
And we made it as homemade of an operation as possible. The cover of the record is us sitting at my dining room table, and now that's where I sit and stuff CDs into envelopes every day and fill orders for record sales.
Excellent.
It's just a real exercise in doing everything the opposite of how they were done in other bands we've been in on major labels. We work incredibly fast. The record was made in 10 days. It was mixed in 4 days. We did photography and artwork in a couple of days, and then we got it mastered in 1 day, and I said, let's get a few thousand copies printed up, put it up on iTunes, and book some shows.
That's
exactly what we did.
Excellent.
And there's no industry around it. It's completely homemade. We do everything ourselves, and the amount of satisfaction and joy that we get from that is incredible. It's profound. It just puts everybody in a good mood to do rough stuff.
Excellent. Well, let me just ask you, is there a big difference in when you collaborate with Chris Price as opposed to Rob Schwartzman on Rooney? I mean, is the process different or is it similar?
Robert is very much a soul songwriter. He's interested in collaborating sometimes, but usually by the time Rooney gets together to do a record, he has a whole lot of songs in shape that he's done. And then normally once he's got a whole bunch of songs, that'll set the tone for the record. And then Ned and I write some songs, Louie writes some songs, and then we try writing some together. And at the end of the day, you'll see a couple of songs by me and Ned and Louie, but it's mainly Robert's thing because that's sort of the foundation of the band, as we form the band based on his material. So that's what sort of dictates the sound and style of the band. And everyone's encouraged to write and contribute in Rooney, but the Rooney sound, the collaborative process really comes in doing arrangements and recording and production ideas and the live show. And that's not to say we don't ever write together, but it's more about, Robert brings a lot to the table. He's kind of a very prolific writer with a very particular point of view lyrically, which has sort of defined what Rooney does. So, for me as a songwriter, trying to get songs in Rooney, it's about working with Ned or working with Robert and trying to just maybe say my piece on one or two songs here and there. It's not, that band is not really my songwriting band, you know.
Got it.
It's really fun to wear two different hats because, you know, I've been playing guitar my whole life, and that's what I self-identify first and foremost before a singer or a songwriter or a producer, is playing guitar. And I sort of like to participate in that old gunslinger attitude of lead guitar players and seeing what I can add and contribute to songs as a guitarist. So it's really fun because in Rooney it's not a lot of, there's no pressure for me to come up with any material because Robert's got so much of it. And then I just go in and see what I can do to color the songs with guitar parts and solos and background harmonies. And it's a really fun gig. And then the Roughs is about Chris and I getting together and trying to say what we want to say as songwriters and have me try to put them across vocally and front the band and try my hand at lead singing.
All right, great. Well, I mean, is it a little tougher without a big label to sort of push through the PR and your album to the public, do you think?
It is. There are a lot of things that can be done to self-promote that are relatively inexpensive. So as long as we can sell a few records and make a few bucks playing live and maybe license some music to TV shows, then I can afford to, you know, hire a publicist and things like that. At this point, it's still a pretty small operation. We have a local following and a little online following, but I would need to have a much longer break in between Rooney stuff to really try to cook it in terms of publicity and everything, which I'd be prepared to do at a later juncture when I have more time to do. But it hasn't felt like work to me, man. It's like when I open my inbox and three people ordered the record today, I don't say, oh, shit, I got to go to the post office and send the records. I think, wow, I sold three records today. I love how hands-on it is, and I wouldn't want to trade that.
Well, that's the great indie process. In regards to selling music, you had mentioned a second ago, are you planning to possibly sell Weekend Warrior to the Army Reserve? Tell me how that song came together and how your uncle was, like, the inspiration for it.
That song, Chris and I had written Joy that day, which is a ballad that has a lot of chord changes and really sophisticated harmonies and a very sad lyric. That was a heavy song to write. We felt like we had just hit on something sort of pretty deep in comparison to a lot of stuff on the record, and we said, okay, well, let's write another one while we're rolling. We want to do something totally opposite, and in that sort of power pop vein, I love, you know, Dave Edmunds and Marshall Crenshaw and Badfinger and all the bands that do that sort of throwback 50s Chuck Berry rock and roll, but with, you know, maybe more of an English attitude or more contemporary style or a different lyric style.
So I thought, you know, we've been really challenging ourselves to be really ambitious with chord changes and delve into all that Beatley and Todd Rundgren-y territory, but now I think we need a song that has like three chords in it that's like a bluesy bar rock song. And we had it, I think maybe Chris had the title, and to me it pertained to my uncles because they're the guys who I started playing music with when I was a little kid, and they sort of just really like inspired me to do this, and neither of them enjoyed a career in music. It was always a hobby for them, unfortunately. And a weekend warrior is our term for somebody who keeps a day job Monday through Friday, but still has a little pub band that goes out and plays bars sometimes on the weekends. So it's actually, you know, if you ask Chris, to him the lyric is very serious and actually one of the saddest lyrics on the record because it's about broken dreams and giving up your lifelong dream of playing rock and roll. And so I think we wanted to do something that was musically really simple and straightforward and had that bluesy bar rock feel to it, but without it actually coming across as a bar band song. It had to have some twist to fit into the more power pop thing we do. So, you know, it's from the point of view of a guy who hates his fucking job and can't wait to get off work on Friday, hook up with his bandmates and load the
gear into the van and go play some bar.
Awesome. Awesome. Well,
Bridge, you got the bridge about
Johnny Construction wants to work in production. You know, it's all these little character vignettes about people who have one job but wish they had another job. The job they wish they had was professional rock and roll.
All right. Well, I want to also tell you how I love with Eureka how you're promoting it with the deluxe package and everything.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about Eureka and this album's coming out, when is it, in May or June?
It's coming out in June.
June, yep.
We recorded it at Robert's house, did a few other overdubs at my studio at Ned's house. And it's really cool. It's really true to us because we self-produced it. And we got to indulge our influences and just sound the way we want to sound. It's just the most close to home. It's also a very homemade feeling record, which I think is the only way I would really ever want to work in either band from here on out. It's kind of silly to do it any other way in this day and age. We're seasoned enough now, even though we're still young, to produce records ourselves. And I think Eureka is cool, and I think the fans will really dig it.
Excellent, excellent. Oh, by the way, I want you to pass on the message that I've heard all the work that Charlotte's done, and it's incredible. She's not only a great bass player, she's extremely beautiful. So,
she's a huge asset. She's added a lot of really cool stuff to the band.
Yeah. So thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and I'll have people go to your site and pick up more copies of The Ruffs, because it's in my top 10 list for 2010. That is unless Rooney decides to overtake it somehow. But it's a great album. I appreciate all the work you do, and I hope you continue to do more work with The Ruffs in between these layovers with Rooney. Keep it going and come to, and let me know if you're coming to the East Coast to play live.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like to mention that Chris and I have another record ready. So we don't want to step on this record. We want this record to have time to breathe and live a long, healthy life and be noticed by as many people as possible. But we're really chomping at the bit to go back in and do another record again as a group with Mikey and Charlotte's full involvement. We wrote another 20 songs, and we whittled that down to 10. And I think it's on par with the first record, if not better. We're feeling really, really good about it. I just can't wait to record these songs. So it won't be long before there's a second Ruffs record.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Thank you so much. Taylor Locke, everyone, for The Ruffs. Thanks so much for your time, Taylor.
All right, thanks,
man. Take care. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.